It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 18th day of August, 2022. This is The Horn. Head On Live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, most weeks. From 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round and whatever time it is when you choose to listen to the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin. Been gone a little while, not by my own choosing. And we'll kind of take care of that little bit of housekeeping for a minute or two. But it would be, you know, if you do wander by the chat room, you will be greeted by early arrivers. Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Theo. And Theo a little bit ago said, asked, is our favorite tall blonde back yet? And yes, I am. Thank you, Theo. You know how to, you sure know how to make a girl feel good. It's been a heck of a couple of days. And for those wondering, no, I am not in Pittsburgh yet. I'm getting up at like sparrow's fart in the morning. That's an Australian term, you know? Or so I was told by John Fox. And I'll be heading up there and get set up and do interviews all day long, and then we'll have Friday on the front porch tomorrow evening. And hopefully get a lot of good conversation in, and sort of, check the pulse of what progressive, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is thinking and feeling, and see what it's going to be Pittsburgh, and I love Pittsburgh. I love DeBerg. Haven't heard from Rico in a while. I checked the weather; it should be fantastic up there. With any luck at all, I'll have a little time to, you know, get out and about downtown. It should be a lot of fun, and we'll just see how it all plays out. I wanted to make sure that I got on the air this evening, though, because of the last 2 days, I've been losing my freaking mind. I got to thinking about it, and it felt like 1994 for the last 72 hours or so, until I was able to get on the air this afternoon. We got internet back here about 9 o'clock last night, after it went off at 3 o'clock on the 16th. I was sitting back here getting ready to go, getting the show prepared, and there it went. And it's like, oh, rats. And the thing is, it had rained, and it was kind of crappy and squishy outside. But the rain had... And then, no, nothing. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, it's Chantel. It's two tin cans and a two beat up tomato cans and a string internet service. Actually, it's fiber, but I just had this vision of some tweaker hillbilly out there trying to stealing cable thing. I'm gonna be able to sell this copper for a lot of money. Where's the copper? Yeah. So I call the tech support line, and I dialed it so many times that I got to where I could just hit the keypad prompts before their automated voice messaging system could tell me what keys to hit. It was like 1-2-2, zip code, hashtag. And the list just kept getting longer of all the places that Shentel was out. And honestly, I think they gave up after a while. Their last update was yesterday at 12:25 p.m. And then finally at, you know, like I said, about 9. Yeah, just barely too late, it came back on. So I got up this morning and worked on it last night, too, and wrangled my wardrobe. You know, I can remember a time when I could just throw a couple of pairs of shorts and a pair of tennis shoes in a bag and be out the door. Oh, no, those days are gone. But I'm packed all but the most essential. Well, everything's packed except the Rodecaster. So as soon as this program's over, I tear that down. I throw a few cosmetics in a bag, and then I can, you know, like I said, get up at Sparrow's Fart in the morning and go. I'm really looking forward to it. And you know what? I was pleased when I saw the rules for Netroots Nation. Masking will be required. Yay. Because Merca, and they're going to try to make sure that, you know, nobody comes away from net. And this is their first one in person and live and since Philly in 2019. So there was no 20 and there was no 2021. And so I know I'm going to see friends. Our pal Arnold is already there, as is our buddy Rick Smith. I checked in with my dear friend Jocelyn, and she's going to be there, and hopefully I'll get her behind the microphone for a few minutes. And we'll take the temperature. And I hope people are excited, and I hope people are furious. And I saw a picture today. It wasn't even a meme. It was just a photograph. And sometimes a photograph just grabs you. It was a picture of, I'm such a little political fangirl of John Fetterman right now. It was a picture of John Fetterman holding up and let's see, there's green pepper strips and two sections of carrots. There's celery and cherry tomatoes and chopped up broccoli florets and some ranch dressing in the middle. And it's labeled, wait for it, veggie tray. Not crudités, like Dr. Oz went after at that imaginary grocery store, you know, Wegner's. But it gave me a big smile. I hope he brings it. I hope he shows up at Netroots Nation, and I hope he brings his veggie tray with him. And remember, y'all, it's not really crudités unless it comes from the crudité region of France. Oh, God, yes. If you can't tell, I'm really happy to be back behind the microphone. It felt like 1994 for the last 2.5 days. Because I say that because it... 1994 was the last time our family didn't have internet. And by 1995, the first Pentium processors had come out. It was a highfalutin 386, I think. The CompU nerds will tell me if I'm wrong. And after that, it was ning, 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 ning. You've got mail. And, you know, before then, we would do things like, and the kids were really, really young, and so was our marriage. But we'd do things like watch movies on VHS cassettes. And so, in a state of absolute consternation and flummoxation, not that that's a word or anything, I looked at Annette on Wednesday night, and I said, she said, do you want to watch a movie? I said, how? And this is what makes her so special. I said, we don't have internet. We can't watch diddly. And she said, I have every episode of Ted Lasso saved on my phone. And so we watched, I think Tuesday evening, I think we must have watched 6 episodes of Ted Lasso. And it was really nice to go back and rewatch it because it had been long enough that it was like fresh. And it remains probably the most delightful piece of television that I have ever watched. And so we sat and we laughed and carried on. And it was like, you know, at least, oh, knock wood, Robin. At least the power wasn't out. But I've gotten way ahead of myself because every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so it is time that we send thanks to our 18th, 17th, and 16th day of the month subscribers. And so working from now backwards, thank you to Emilio, and thank you to Sharon. Thank you to our dear friend who shall remain nameless in the Far East. And thanks to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thanks to Grace and Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Jude. Thank you so much, Jude. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to Creative Sisters. Thank you. The Divided by Three Challenge. Ken came through on that. Thank you. Thank you to Labor Man, Gary out in New Mexico. Thank you to Trevor. And thank you to Norman. And thank you to Zed in Iowegia. Thank you to Reinhard on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Mark. Thank you so much, Mark. And that gets us all caught up. So where does that mean we stand? Well, we are in a deep and terrifying hole. But we it means that we're somewhere around the $1,500 mark getting caught up. And it's a long way to go, I know. But it's certainly, I hope, worth the effort. $1,500, and that's actually a low estimate. I mean, because with not being on the air yesterday and not being on the air the day before, I didn't add those in. Because I would have happily been here if I could have been. Chantal, we apologize for the inconvenience. And that's about all I'm going to get, I have a feeling. But if we could take a bite out of that fundraising hole, it would be huge. I mean, tremendous. Profound. And, of course, I would be remiss if I did not note that this trip to Netroots Nation is brought to you by Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Kat. Thank you so very much for making this possible. I'll make sure that you get branding on that all the way through. Thank you so, so very much. So that's all the housekeeping. Yeah, exactly, Ralph. It's a long way to go and a short time to get there. We are northbound and down. Love that song. Yeah, okay, so Lee in New York says, using my tech word knowing there was the 286, the 386, the 486, then Pentium, not the 586. Okay. Okay, so that was our first machine, and it had this whopping big, like, 12 megabyte hard drive in it. And a whole lot of CD-ROMs and a 3 1/4 inch floppy. Is it 3 1/4? I've forgotten these things. A floppy. Mm-hmm. And a CRT monitor that weighed as much as about six flat screens in the modern world. Thank you, Henry, for getting us going. Thank you so very much. Henry out in Oakland, thank you. That gets us down to 1450. Oddly enough, that was the frequency of a radio station I worked at, the curiously named WLAY, back in the day. Most of us didn't give it much thought back then, WLAY. Told people outside of the shoals about it, and they were like, really? LAY? Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of catching up to do. Goodness gracious sakes alive. Since Tuesday, that was our... Yeah, 5 1/4 fly. Okay, thank you, Steve. 5 1/4 were the old ones, and the ones in the little hard plastic cases were 3 1/2. Thank you. That was back when we used to ride our dinosaurs to the computer store. Yeah. When last we spoke on Tuesday, we were anticipating the imminent defeat of Daddy's little deferment, you know, Dick's little deferment, Liz. Because she was. She was one of those reasons for Dick to not have to go off to the Vietnam and serve his country. But we were expecting that she would be defeated, and in fact she was, and, well, resoundingly so. And I don't know if the maggots realize this, but she's dangerous now. More dangerous. Her term is not over. She will not lose. She will not have to exit her congressional seat until early January of 2023. Harriet Hageman, whatever, will be the Republican nominee and is almost a surefire winner. Because Wyoming is about as maggoty as a place can get. I mean, maybe even more maggoty than almost level West by Cole Trump Manchinia Stan. And Harriet. That's from an old Mike Myers movie. Is almost certainly going to win. But apparently, Liz is going to go down screaming. And she's formed a pack. And the pack's name comes from a speech by... Well, it comes from Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, I do believe. And I'm hoping that Liz will do everything in her power to stoke the stroke between now and January. Of course, Nitwit Nero, not being the most self-aware human being on planet Earth, took great joy in Liz's defeat, referring to her as
crazy Liz Cheney. And loser Liz Cheney, loser. She's a rhino, Republican in name only.
Yeah, it takes a lot of self-delusion to call someone a Republican in name only when she voted with him 94% of the time during his misbegotten presidency. 94%. I mean, she was right there voting in the House of Representatives when the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 came around, and guess how she voted? Of course she voted against it, even though it had a climate bomb and pipelines and all kinds of corporate welfare in it for the hydrocarbon business. No, she voted against it. And she voted against the bill that would have preserved the marriages of people who have same-sex marriages. She voted against that, even though she's got a lesbian sister. But she has gotten right the one thing that she needed to get right. In a time when patriotism among Republicans is in dire short supply, she found what the French would refer to as a soupçon of it, and has inveighed against Nitwit Nero, and will continue so to do. But with her defeat comes a heightened sense of urgency, I think. Because whatever the J6 committee is going to do, they got to get done by January. And preferably, I mean, if it was my timeline to set up, and it is certainly neither mine nor yours, it would be something more on the order of about a month and a half from now. And I frankly don't see how the J6 committee can do that in light of the fact that they keep running across more potentially criminal information. But then again, that may be something that they continue to go that continues to come out in the time of our children and great grandchildren. But what I mean by that is some reporting from the New York Times yesterday, Wednesday, in which they reported federal prosecutors investigating the role that former President Donald J. Trump and his allies played in the events leading up to the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol have issued a grand jury subpoena to the National Archives for all the documents the agency provided to a parallel House Select Committee inquiry. The subpoena, issued to the National Archives in May, made a sweeping demand for all materials in whatever form that the Archives had given to the J6 Committee, including records from the files of Mr. Trump's top aides, New York Times and their little style guide, Mr. Trump, his daily schedule and phone logs, and a draft text of the president's speech that preceded the riot. They went on to explain that part of it has absolutely nothing to do with the documents that were seized from Mar-a-Lardass. Asking the National Archives for any White House documents pertaining to the events surrounding January 6th was one of the first major steps the House panel took in its investigation, and the grand jury subpoena suggests that the Justice Department has not only been following the committee's lead in pursuing its inquiry, but also that prosecutors believe evidence of a crime may exist in the White House documents the Archives turned over to the House panel. I think we all feel fairly confident in that regard. Tuesday night, after all the shouting was over in the Wyoming stand, Sean Hannity, the Hannity job, and invited Harriet onto his little propaganda fest. At which point, Harriet said that Liz Cheney had not given a concession or conceded the race or anything like that. She said she left a very brief 2-second marriage message. 2 seconds. It consisted of, "Hi, Harriet." And interestingly, by the way, Harriet Hageman is a lawyer, a former Wyoming Republican Party apparatchik, and at one point in time did not believe in the big lie theory, but the problem is, you cannot get anywhere in the Republican Party now without bowing a knee to the weirdos of Maggotville. And yes, by the way, yeah, there's a couple other big deals out there, but I thought we would start with Liz. So once Harriet Hageman had gone, Steve in New York, "Harriet Hageman, space alien, is it me or does old Harriet look like Mrs. Adelson from the first Men in Black?" Who was that? That was Jay's third grade teacher, was it? Location, Philadelphia. Duration, 90 years. Occupation, teacher. God, Steve, that's uncanny. And what's she doing wearing my glasses? No, I don't think I said that. Are you saying Harriet is a chick? No. I don't think so. But anyway, because Liz Cheney is, for God's sakes, people, she's a Cheney. You screw with that bunch at your own hazard. I mean, her daddy murdered a million innocent Iraqis on a whim. On dummied up, faked up, frauded up, rubed up, ginned up evidence. Because he could. And Harriet wants to go on the Hannity job show and tell a lie? Well, Liz waited until she had, and then she swung the trap.
AP's calling it. Message. Tell us.
Hi, here is Liz Cheney calling. It's about 8:13 on Tuesday the 16th. I'm calling to concede the election and to congratulate you on the win. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Oh, dear. Oh, Harriet, stay off small aircraft, honey. And, you know, look under the bed before you go to... You just fucked with a Cheney. Oh. And so she's not even into the general election yet, and she's already been proven to be an unrepentant and unnecessary, which is kind of an indication of, say, being a pathological liar. But it won't matter. It won't matter to the maggots in Wyoming, Stan. They'll just go knuckle breathing and mouth walking to the polls and her Democratic opponent's last name is Grable, and with the maggots being who they are, oh dear, there'll be something ugly come from that. An indigenous woman running against Harriet. Harriet! It's, by the way, that line that's stuck in my head, it comes from, it's from a pre Austin Powers movie called So I Married an Axe Murderer. Oh, okay. So, yeah, what? Okay. Took me a minute. The show blows past me so quickly, darling. It was a joke, Robin. You said apparatchik. You know, chick. Oh, never mind. Blonde. Just write it off to blonde. I mean, sometimes I'm a little on the slow side of things. As to Liz, Stephen New York says, proof that Nitwit Nero has no dick to speak of because he clearly cannot feel Liz's, what? He couldn't. Yeah. Meanwhile, Dave says, if memory serves, absent a felony conviction, the New York Times style book requires the Mr. Hell the First Dick is still referred to as Mr. Nixon. That's true. Unless there's a felony. Sorry, I'm being a little catty there.
Yeah.
And so that's just the tip of the iceberg as we move through the Phil Robster. Yeah, hi, this is Liz. Just kind of concede the race and say congratulations. Here's an interesting little piece of, I would say, speculation. We haven't heard a lot about this person, but... oh, okay. Well, hey, okay, Darlene, dig this. Darlene heard chick. I heard rat. Apparat chick. That's from Suman. Suman heard rat. Darlene heard chick. Suman says, yeah, she needs to watch her back. Harriet does. I mean, Richard B. Dick, big time Cheney, before he dicks use powers, or still formidable, and in some ways being wielded by his little deferment. I wouldn't want to do that. Anyway, Matt Gaetz, it just Gaetz worse. Still waiting for his indictment. Matt Gaetz has a Republican primary opponent for the primary on the 23rd, and the guy apparently has some ad money. And of course, Nitwit Nero has endorsed Matt Gaetz because he seems to be, you know, grabbers of flock together, I guess. But Mark Lombardo is the Republican running against him in the primary. And Mark Lombardo has asked a question, you know, just asking questions. Because we all know there's a rat. There was a rat. An informant. In this case, a patriot, not a rat. That led to the search warrant at Mar-a-Lardass. And so Mark Lombardo is suggesting that maybe he thinks he knows who the informant, you know, might be.
When Donald Trump really endorses someone, he goes big. You've seen none of that for Lion Matt Gaetz. What does Trump know? Is Gaetz the informant? Gaetz hired Jeffrey Epstein's attorney. Another Epstein attorney approved the raid on Trump's house. Remember, Gaetz pressured Trump to give him a pardon, but Trump said no. Matt Gaetz puts himself first, ahead of Trump and ahead of you. Vote for a leader who will put America first. Vote for Marine Mark Lombardo.
I'm Mark Lombardo. I approve this message.
That seems curious. Now, I mean, apparently Mark Lombardo is pure maggot. But gosh, come on. Let's you and him fight. And he hit all the right points. Jeffrey Epstein. Lee pointing out, Trump is supporting Gaetz because he hopes Matt will share. Ew. Just, ew. Gross. So still, you know, it's a little curious. And as I said, other big doings. In the ongoing criminal probe of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg has entered a guilty plea. A guilty plea which could very well send him to prison for the rest of his unnatural born days. There was a plea hearing today. And Alan Weisselberg, I guess you could say, took the fall. He's 75 years old, and he maintained omerta for his boss, Nitwit Nero. And he's going to have to pay back $1,994,321 in taxes that he owes. And he's gotten a sweetheart deal that looks like he'll be sentenced to 6 months in prison and serve three. And is still maintaining omerta. You know, the law of silence of the mob. And he will eventually testify about how the Trump Organization rewarded him. Gave him untaxed corporate perks for years and years and years in the form of paying tuition for his grandkids at a hoity-toity Manhattan private school. They gave him a luxury car to use anytime he wanted. They gave him a fully paid, swanky pad overlooking Central Park. And it could be the end of the Trump Organization. Because the Trump Organization is capable of being charged with criminal conduct. And he admitted to grand larceny, criminal tax fraud, falsifying business records, offering a false instrument for filing, conspiracy, and scheme to defraud. Second-degree grand larceny, a felony in New York, is an up to 15-year prison sentence. But again, refused to roll on Nitwit Nero. I guess because he knows that even if he was to be sentenced to 15 years, that would be 15 years alive, whereas he might wind up buried on a golf course if he rolled. On the other hand, however, the judge, in taking the plea, Juan Mershon, said, "If you fail to testify truthfully at the upcoming trial of the Trump Organization, I would then not be bound by my sentence promise." and could, in fact, give him the whole 15 years or more. Damn. I'm trying to figure out what kind of a deal, say, the average New Yorker would get if they were charged with all of that and decided to enter a plea of guilty. Under the jail, you think? And these are state charges, so it won't be any cushy federal... No. 75-year-old guy doing... I mean, Steve, you tell me. You know the jurisdiction. Can he do his 3 months at Rikers? I don't know. But you got to think. You got to think. There's a little case of nerves going on there at the high-rise hillbilly complex there at the Trump Tower. One dares hope. Then there's one of Nitwit Nero's lawyers. She's under a court order at Rikers, Stephen, New York, says, that place is pretty fucking awful. Too awful for a felonious pal of Nitwit Nero? But I guess the question I was asking, is that a municipal facility or is that a state facility? Oh, Sing Sing's always a possibility. Dream on, Robin. Remember Jenna Ellis? She's under subpoena in the state of Georgia in the election interference case. This past Tuesday, Judge Gregory Lammons in Fort Collins, Colorado, ordered Jenna to comply with the subpoena she was served by the Georgia grand jury. But along came Mr. Meth Pillow, Mike Lindell, who apparently has inside knowledge of the fact that Jenna Ellis is going to tell both the Fort Collins circuit judge and the circuit judge in Georgia and the grand jury in Fulton County to go chini themselves.
The summit is divided into six segments. The first segment is...
Right. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition, Mike. We get that. He's having a summit, Mr. Meth Pillow is. And Jenna's going to go to his summit instead of... obey a subpoena?
The summit is divided into six segments. The first segment is how we got here. There'll be, I'll have different guests up on stage, attorneys Jenna Ellis and Kurt Olson, Patrick Kobach, Dr. Doug Frank, Justice Gableman from Wisconsin, many, many more. And it's then 11 a.m. to 6:30, or I mean, it'd be noon, I guess, Eastern time, to 7:30 Eastern time p.m. It's the trial of the machines. I'm telling you, everybody, it's over for them. If you watch this, after this
Wait, the trial of the machines? Has this got something to do with Skynet? Remember, it was last week when Mr. Meth Pillow told us Venezuela and Australia are gone. And I haven't heard from Robert in too long, and it makes me worry. I mean, is Australia still there? Was that the meth talking?
Ben, if anyone you talk to say, you can say anything to them, if they say, oh, no, those machines are great, or this conspiracy theory, you didn't watch the summit.
You didn't do the meth.
Nobody can play plausible deniability.
But the central part of that is that Jenna Ellis is going to go and attend Mr. Meth Pillow's summit. By the way, just for purposes of Theater of the Mind Radio, Mr. Meth Pillow, while he was appearing on the War Room on War Room Pandemic on Real America's Voice. There's a picture behind Mr. Meth Pillow that has a profile of Jesus H. Christ wearing his crown of thorns. And in the foreground in front of Jesus H. Christ, I think that's grown-up Simba from The Lion King. Then again, maybe Mr. Meth Pillow is going, maybe he's the Lion King. No, the mane on the lion there is kind of orangey. That Nitwit Nero would be your Lion King there. Dave says, I heard 3 months at Rikers, though Attica would be my first choice for Alan Weisselberg. By the way, oh dear God, okay. Cowbell for Dave. By the way, when Stormy was just asking a question, it was, is it in, Donald? Lee in New York says, my understanding is that Rikers Island, not a Star Trek reference, is a city jail. A jail is for the incarcerated that are not convicted. Prisons are after conviction. I think Rikers can be a, well, okay, yeah, so he'll probably, so yeah, Attica, Sing Sing, kind of with you, Dave. Clarence, on the road probably, says, sentence, Alan Weisselberg. Wesley Snipes got 3 years for tax evasion. He served the entire sentence. Racial disparity, anyone? Ding! Can anybody darken up Alan Weisselberg a little bit before his sentencing? I'm just wondering. That would be one acceptable use of blackface, I think. Yeah, I do mean the Lion King. Mm-hmm. Lordy, we got a bunch of stuff. It does. It does pile up when you're away from when I'm away from the mic for a couple of days. Suman said, "Well, God damn it! I was looking forward to the upcoming cricket series between Australia and India to be played in India." Maybe they'll send over a few Terminators instead. God, they'd be hell with a wicket, with a cricket bat, defending the wickets, wouldn't they? And working my way through the remainder of the stack. Lovely little moment from. The worst thing to ever slither, creep, crawl, or otherwise find its way out of Colbert County, Alabama. I'm talking, of course, about Addison McConnell, a.k.a. Mitch. He was talking in Florence, Kentucky today, which is right there across the, very nearly across the river from Cincinnati. Delivering his earnest words of wisdom. And of course, you always have to kind of parse Moscow Mitch's words. Moscow Mitch has now gotten to the point where he's hoping no one really expects much of Republicans in the way of taking the Senate in November. I'm certainly not resting on any laurels. I would like, oh God, dare to dream, y'all, dare to dream. Think of states like North Carolina and, well,
Charles Booker in Kentucky and Tim Ryan in Ohio and, yes, Fangirl Crush, John Fetterman in Pennsylvania and maybe Ron Johnson getting beaten in Wisconsin. Possibly a miracle taking place in Missouri. Yeah. But Mitch McConnell has warned good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans in Kentucky stand, knowing that the world hangs on every gooey Southern word of his, not to expect much from Republicans in the Senate. I chuckled merrily when I read this quote. Well, I think there's probably a greater likelihood the House flips than the Senate. Senate races are just different. They're statewide. That they are, Moscow Mitch. That they are. And that means gerrymandering doesn't come into play nearly as much. Of course, voter suppression always does in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. But it's the last phrase that got me to giggling. Oh, yeah.
The Senate races are just different. Candidate quality has a lot to do with outcome.
Candidate quality. That's a way of saying,
y'all, when we run in Herschel Walker and Dr. Oz and J.D. Vance, and y'all expect me to go back to being Senate Majority Leader with a bunch of winners like that, what kind of drugs y'all doing?
And he went on and he said,
well, right now we have a 50-50 Senate and a 50-50 country. But I think when all's said and done this fall, we'll likely have an extremely close Senate, either our side up slightly or their side up slightly. Even though history strongly favors the party out of power, in this case the GOP, to make gains in midterm races.
No.
I sure as shit wish somebody besides Herschel Walker was running in Georgia. I wish we'd had somebody besides J.D. Vance running in Ohio. Lord God, who says crudities? That fella don't even live in Pennsylvania, and I recognize that.
I hope it doesn't hurt too little, Mitch. I really do.
Candidate quality. Quality.
Mitch knows how to vote count. Flavio tells me that Mandela Barnes is 7 points ahead of Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He works in the lumber mills there. Flavio says that margin needs to be greater, but I'll take it. Mandela Barnes is a formidable opponent and just may get the job done. I sure hope so. Meanwhile, Fetterman's 11 points ahead of Oz. I don't know if that's pre- or post-crudités. Oh, wait a minute, Flavio. You earned that one. Somebody remind me to take the... I don't know. Should I take the cowbell to Radio Row? It might prove... mostly it's going to be interview. But we'll be doing Friday on the front porch. I don't know.
Candidate quality.
Mm-hmm. So, by all means, simmer in your own juices a little while, Mitch. And by the way, thank you, Emilio. Emilio jumped back in, and we are down to $14.35 to make up our fundraising losses. If we could knock that out, that would be tremendous. Oh, and because Merca, I saw it because, you know, I don't stop doing preparation for the program just because the internet's out. And I saw this one yesterday and went, oh! We've talked about the fact that the polio virus appears to be spreading. Polio, for God's sakes. That's how screwed up we are as a country. The polio virus appears to be spreading in New York. And over at Ars Technica, they write, as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention continues to ramp up efforts to halt the spread of polio virus in New York, anti-vaccine activists are celebrating dips in childhood vaccination rates, calling them a COVID silver lining. Could we, because we were just talking about him a minute ago, could we get Moscow Mitch on the blower? To maybe explain that polio is nothing anybody wants? Please? This past Tuesday, the CDC published new details of the case of paralytic polio in New York's Rockland County that was first announced in mid-July. The case, which occurred in an unvaccinated, immune competent, healthy immune system. Remember all that?
I got a healthy immune system. I got to worry about the COVID.
A young adult male began in June, and the infection left the man with ongoing flaccid weakness in both legs. And as of August 10th, 8 days ago, officials had tested 260 wastewater samples in Rockland and nearby Orange County, New York. 21 of those 260 samples, 8%, tested positive, with positive detection spanning samples collected in April, May, June, and July. Separately, New York officials announced last Friday, August 12th, that sewage samples in New York City had also tested positive for polio. And so, some zip codes within Rockland County, New York, have polio vaccination rates in infants as low as 37%. And so enter the Children's Health Defense Network. Now, this is the gang of scum headed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And it was the Children's Health Defense Organization that called the dip in vaccination seen during COVID a COVID silver lining. And falsely claimed that the dip in vaccinations during COVID had led to a dip in sudden infant death syndrome. This is, of course, a lie. And they went on to say that New York health officials are fabricating the spread of polio. No, you heard that right. In order to stoke worries about a resurgence of so-called vaccine-preventable illnesses. And they write, Thus, following a single case of paralysis ascribed to, quote, polio, quote, scare quotes, dick fingers, New York State is busily trying to conjure up a polio outbreak. But here's the point that Ars Technica drives home. Finding a single polio case in New York suggests that hundreds, if not thousands, of others have been infected. Low vaccination coverage in the patient's county of residence indicates that the community is at risk for additional cases of paralytic polio. That's from the CDC's report. Even a single case of paralytic polio represents a public health emergency in the United States. You know, I hope I'm vaccinated. I know I didn't get the smallpox vaccination. I hope I got the polio vaccination. Surely to goodness I did. But given when I was born, I think finding a vaccination record is going to be something next to impossible. Polio. And the anti-vaxxers are leaping on that. And they have to be allowed to spread that potentially deadly disinformation because freedom of speech. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. Polio? You want Addison to do something for the good of the people? Oh, I know. I'm a hopeless little optimist, aren't I? But I mean, he had it. Addison did. You'd think, well, no, you wouldn't think, would you? Because it is Addison McConnell, a.k.a. Mitch. Emilio says, polio's a hoax and JFK's just around the corner. Wake up, sheeple! Oh, it makes my head hurt. Thank you, Ralphs. We are now down to, 1410 to go. Thank you so much. If we could get down to 12, we'd have one day covered out of the many that we have not, you know, all of last week. And we are in dire circumstances. And, we shall see. I suppose. Let's see here. Somebody is on the stress line. Let's go and see if we can find out who. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Hey, Tracy. You're back?
Yeah. After a series of unfortunate events, I enjoyed my vacation other than on Saturday, not Friday, the 13th, and I went to the Panama Canal. It was an amazing tour.
Hey,
but I managed to lose my phone.
Oh no! Hey, Tracy, we've got a lot of noise. Are you Bluetoothing or?
It's the wit. Yeah, I'm Bluetoothing, and I should be done in a minute. I'm crazy wind. And I'm trying to roll up my window. It should be done in a couple of minutes. So let me get you real quick, and I'll be right back.
Okie doke. Because that was that sounded like maybe, you know, you were too close to the Death Star when it was about to blow up. Gracious. Okay, so,
is that better?
We'll see. I hope. Seems like.
Okay. So, like I said, on Saturday the 13th, not like Friday the 13th, but Saturday the 13th, I lost my phone. And you know what, Robin? I have had a phone, I don't know, let's see, I've had a mobile phone since 2001, so for over 20 years. I have never lost a cell phone, ever. So to lose a cell phone, not only lose a cell phone, but to lose it in a foreign country, hey, if I'm going to lose my phone, at least I'm going to do it spectacularly, right? I mean, I lost my phone in a fucking foreign country. So there's that.
Did you drop it in the Panama Canal?
No. I got through the damn tour. It was when we got to, so we took a bus. I mean, we took a boat through the canal. And after we went through, you know, the first two, you know, we went through the first two locks because we went on the northbound tour of the canal. And so then after we finished that, we docked in Gamboa, which is is a rainforest. And eventually I was actually going to go there the next day, but that didn't happen. That's where they have the sloths and the monkeys and all that. And then you take a bus back from there. So, yeah. So we got off the bus because I was texting you. Remember, we were texting.
Yes.
We were texting. So somehow after we got off the bus, I don't know if I lost it in the bathroom or what. But so what happened, you know, we get off the bus, go to the bathroom. And so then I leave out and Jan's like, you know, cause I've been in the car. And she's so freaked out about every little thing. She's like, don't put, you know, like I did, like I wasn't going to put the phone up on because I bought a cell phone holder for the rental car so I could, you know, use Google Maps to get back to the hotel. And then I'm like, where the fuck is my phone? So then I go back into the place. I don't see my phone. And I'm like, So I call AT&T. They put a hold, they locked my phone. So even if somebody found it and put in a new SIM card, it would just be a really pretty paper. I mean, and so then I called, when we got back to the hotel, I called Apple to see what my options were. And I had AppleCare Plus, but I didn't have the AppleCare Plus that covers that loss. But the young man was like, don't worry, I see what I can do. So he's like, it'll cost you $150. I will set up an appointment for you at the Apple Store close to you, and there will be a phone waiting for you, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, so that popped me off the ledge. You know, I was like, okay. And I will have a phone when I get home. I have my work phone, which is fine, but then trying to understand, you know, like to verify shit and all that, I couldn't do it. A lot of stuff because everything is tied to my phone. So anyway, you know, like I said, once I found out that I was going to be able to get a new iPhone or refurbished phone, whatever, that calmed me down. So that was Saturday. Sunday morning, we get up and we're like, we're probably going to go really explore the city and do all sorts of stuff. So I'm getting ready, I'm getting dressed, and a part of the ceiling falls on my head.
Wait, what?
In the hotel room. It was the air conditioner, air filter, the air filter for the air conditioner, dislodged and fell on my head. And I'm like, okay. I mean, it hurt. It wasn't bruised or anything, but still. You know, I didn't get a concussion or anything like that, so I go downstairs, you know, we go downstairs because we were leaving anyway to report what happened. And those people, I could see the fear in their eyes. It's like, oh no, an American got hurt on our property. Jesus, you know. And I'm like, you know, so you want to change rooms? It's like, no, just fix the damn thing. And so then Jan and I left and went about our business to tour around Panama City. And so it was a nice tour. I got some trinkets and stuff. We took a couple of wrong turns, and Jan's like, oh my God, we're in the ghetto. I said, okay. I grew up in the ghetto. These are straight up slums. I have never seen the worst ghetto that I ever lived in LA doesn't even compare to what we saw in Panama. It was so depressing and so heartbreaking. I'm like, oh, God. So we got out of that part. And anyway, we found what we were looking for, got what I wanted, and we're on our way back to the hotel. 5 minutes away from the hotel, there's a checkpoint. I'm like, no big deal. I haven't done any, I don't have any issues. I have my ID. Everything's good. So I roll down the window when the cop comes to my door, my car, and he says, he wants my passport. Do I have my passport with me, Rod? No.
No,
I've always been told when you go to a foreign country, never walk around with your passport. Just to be safe. And so, because if you lose your ID or anything, that's no big deal. So if you lose your passport, you're fucked. So he kept asking me for my passport, and I'm like, I don't have it. It's at the hotel. You know, back and forth in, you know, the halted Spanish that I know. And so then he tells us to pull over. Pull over! No, you didn't say that. Thank you. So Jan and I, now Jan is freaking out because, damn. And I'm like, and she's about to try to open her mouth. And I'm like, I looked at her with that steely eye, like, bitch, don't you dare say a word. You cannot carry us out of this situation. Shut up and just sit your ass there and don't move. So then the next brother comes over and he asks, you know, I said, don't have a passport. It's at the hotel. If you want, I could call the hotel, what have you. And I said, you have your driver's license? I'm like, yes. Showed him my driver's license, and we went on about our business. So, okay. And I told Jan, I want you to know, and I want you to be keenly aware that if I was not black, and if it's you driving, this would be a whole totally different situation. I said, the only reason why nothing that this situation did not escalate is because I'm black and we're in a predominantly black country. And she's like, yeah. I said, so next time you try to think about opening your mouth and saying, doing the Karen thing, think about it and don't do it. So we get back to the hotel, and when we get there, all these people are like this, because it looks like they were looking for us. And this so happens that the president of the resort was there. And of course, they're like, you know, we heard what happened. Please accept our humble apology. Would you like to move rooms? I'm like, no, we're fine. It's the room. And she fixed the thing. They're like, yeah. And I said, no. Nope. I said, what if we move you to the presidential suite? And I'm like, say, you can say what? And then I'm like, you know what? At first, yeah, I was like, no, and we got to pack up. I said, well, we got to pack up our shit anyway. Might as well start the packing process and, you know, and just move to the presidential suite for our last 2 nights. It's like, yeah, okay. So we're packing up, getting ready to go, and I was unplugging something from the wall, and I scraped my leg up against the chair in our room and cut my leg open.
Girl, damn.
Did I lose you? Are you in, are you in just like, what the fuck?
No.
So now,
I mean,
now blood is flowing down the side of my leg, the front of my leg. Jan's like, because I screamed, stop. And she's like, what? I just cut myself. And I looked down, and there's the blood streaming from my leg. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Fortunately, I bought a first aid kit with us, and I bandages, you know what I'm trying to say. It up. But the problem is I had gauze, but no, it didn't come with tape. I was like, what the fuck? Why would you have gauze, but no tape to take the gauze on your bum over the wound? So anyway, I said, well, now I got to go downstairs. So well, we were going downstairs anyway because we were moving room. So as we go downstairs, I go to the front desk and say, I cut my leg. I need first aid. And at this point, now they're like, what in the world? So I got them, you know, they cleaned the wound, they treated the wound with antiseptic and bandaged me up. And so I'm like, come on, seriously? And so at this point, you know, they offer, you know, free tours, free massage. I'm like, no, I just want to be left alone. At this point, I'm just tired. And so that was Sunday. So Monday, you know, we actually got booked into it. We're like, no, I just want to stay in the hotel and by the pool and enjoy my last full day on vacation. Yeah, no, it's storm. I mean, like, not hurricane winds, but pretty fucking, you know, some strong-ass winds. So we spent our last full day in our room. Fortunately, I did bring my real cruise, and we were not relegated to watching Spanish-language television. We could watch something that was, you know, that we could watch in Panama. And so that was Monday. So then early Monday morning, so we could get to the airport. We have plenty of time. And I was going to stop at the store to get some more gifts. But Gab was freaking out about getting to the airport. And I'm like, we have plenty of time. We're fine. Oh, no, we need to get there 3 or 4 hours ahead of time. I'm like, 3 hours max. But, you know, the shutter up, we got to the airport at 10:30. Our flight doesn't leave until 3. So, anywho, we get there. And so I did drop her off because I didn't know, because I never saw, like, shuttle buses between where you return your car to the actual terminal departure. So I dropped Jan off, and she, you know, we had a conversation. I'm like, I'm dropping you off here. I don't want no shit. I'm dropping you off at the terminal so you can wait for me, and then I will come back and get you. I mean, I will, you know, drop the car and then come back. So on her way to the airport, she's going through the glove department where I have the rental agreement. And she's like, I wasn't paying attention because a lot of times I like the same stuff that I just kind of fuck it out. And I didn't realize that she had taken out the rental agreement from the, so I get to return the car. That's because when you return the car, it's like the car return plus a parking lot. So you have to get a ticket. And when you check out, when you turn your car in, you give them the ticket. And also, and so there's a pink slip of paper that shows, you know, if there's any damage to the vehicle. And so I open up the glove compartment, and the rental agreement is gone because she took it with her. So at this point, I'm like, I keep stuff in. I try not to yell at Jan because it doesn't do good. But at this point, I called her because I did have my other phone, thank God. And I'm like, what the fuck? Do you have a goddamn rental agreement? She's like, yes. I said, why? Why do you have a fucking rental agreement? Well, I didn't want to leave it in the car. I said, Jan, are you thinking that I am so that stupid that when I left this fucking car here, I would have left the goddamn rental agreement in the car? No. But because you took it out, now I have to come back and find your ass to get the rental agreement and come back to the goddamn car rental place. Oh, God. And she said, don't yell at me. I'm like, fuck that. You shouldn't have been messing with that stuff. I said, because you got to be in control of every motherfucking thing. I had to waste my goddamn time to bring back, to come find you to get the goddamn rental agreement.
Breathe, Tracy, breathe.
Oh, no, I felt good to yell because I hadn't really yelled about everything that had happened so far. And she, you know, so anyway, and I was already pissed because I didn't get to do what I wanted to do for why we left the hotel early anyway. And so then, so the guy explains to me, you got to pay to get out. And so I get to thing to pay to get out, but not realizing that you have to pay at the machine before you get to the car to get out. So then I have to back up and go around to pay to get out. And then I make the wrong turn and wind up in another part of, so long story short, I got the shit, I dropped the car off, I got up there to Jan, only to find out that the American Airlines counter, because they only have two flights out of Panama a day, doesn't open until noon. And at that point, I just stopped talking to Jan, because I'm like, heck, you just let me do what I wanted to do. We had plenty of time. And now we're here almost 2 hours before they even open the goddamn rental car. I mean, the goddamn ticket counter to even check our luggage.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm stressing out just listening.
Oh, but I'm not done.
I mean, this is like when I watched Steve Martin and John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, it is.
I've only seen that film one time because it was so stressful, I could only handle it one time.
So, after all that, we get checked in, we get on our flight was on time. And so, we go from Panama to Miami. Now, remember, Jan got conditionally approved for global entry. I had yet to get my approval. And I tell her, you can go ahead and do the interview to get it done. I don't know, back and forth. I'm like, she's like, well, I'll wait till the interview is done. No, I just said, Jan, if you would just go through the interview now, if and when I get approved, then I could take your appointment in March. Of course, you wouldn't do it. And so then I'm like, I'm just really done. So now going through customs in Miami wasn't terrible, but the only problem is because we're in a connecting flight, we have to go through customs, then get our luggage to be rechecked through to get into our flight from Miami to LA. It still wasn't bad, but now I know that if I ever. Wherever I decide to go, when I travel internationally, Robin, if I cannot get a direct flight, I ain't going. I'm not doing it. Not doing it after, I mean, we had plenty of time. We had a 3-hour layover anyway. We had plenty of time to get everything done, but the stress level is unbelievable.
So, are you telling me are you telling me if it does not go from LAX directly to where you want to go, you ain't going?
At this point, no. eventually, yes, but basically, there's like, okay, Panama. There is an airline, Copa Airline, which is part of the Star Alliance, because there's One World Alliance, Star Alliance, and there's another one. Copa Airline is part of the Star Alliance, which is United Airlines. So now I'm going to start, flying, in United Airlines.
But are you going back to Panama?
Oh God, yes. With everything that happened, that's why I said Copa Airlines, which is supposed to be an amazing airline, they fly directly. You hear what I'm saying? Directly.
Yeah, I know, but the ceiling fell on you. You slashed your leg. Christopher just wrote in, subject line, Tracy's leg? Shit, I didn't know they had Cracker Barrel down in Panama. Love you, Tracy. Glad you and Jan made it back safe and sound, if not a little bit scarred. And Darlene said, thank you, Tracy, for sharing videos and pics of your and Jan's trip to Panama with us. They were fantastic.
It was amazing. It was gorgeous. I really enjoyed it. So we get home. Our flight was on time. Actually, our flight was even early. We had a friend pick us up from the airport. Everything was fine. We get home. I pass out. Everything is hunky-dory. So the next morning is when I go to the Apple store to pick up my phone. What the hell? Let's just say, when I got to the Apple Store, Robin, there was no phone. The customer service rep that told me that I was going to get a phone was wrong. I spent 2 hours. At this point, after, you know, because the only thing that kept me from completely losing my shit over the last, you know, from Saturday until I got home, except when I lost my shit off, when I went off, and deservedly so on Dan being the fucking controls freak that he is, I was pretty calm until I get to the Apple store and they're like, well, no, that's not how it works. There's no phone here for you. The rep is supposed to go online and fill out these forms and blah, blah, blah. But you don't have Apple Care Plus with Best and Lost. So you're not even, and I said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do, but somebody is going to resolve this situation because after this, I mean, I was literally on the same clothes that I was in because, you know, it's a 16-hour journey. That's another reason for direct flight. I've been up for 16 hours, and then I get to the point when you're telling me that I can't get a phone. So when, you know, after going back and forth, we came up with a solution. I bought a phone that I can return once I get a situated. Because Apple Store and Apple support two totally different functions. They can't do anything at the Apple Store, but fortunately for me, there's a young man that works there that used to work at Dell years back, and he was the young man that sold me and Dan a wedding ring. I should kill that man. No, just kidding. And so when there was two people helping me and they had no clue what to do, he took over. So we got me a phone. So I'm speaking to you now on my iPhone 13 Pro, which is not what I want because, well, I didn't want to buy a new phone. I was going to be happy with the iPhone 11. So this is what the plan is. So he's like, this is what you do. We'll get you the phone. You got, you know, 2-week return policy. When you get this everything straightened out at Apple support, then, you know, you bring back the phone, blah, 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 you know, the phone that you get your replacement phone, then you can return this phone. Or if not, if you decide to keep it, then you can use the replacement phone as a trade-in. And I'm like, fine. Of course, I don't call Apple support right away because the whole ordeal took 2.5 hours of my time. And at this point, I am a basket case. I mean, I called Jan to calm me down. Do you know how bad the situation is that I called Jan to calm me down?
Given the foregoing, bad.
Right. And so, I mean, and then all this, every time I would try to, you know, validate my email address or my pat, it was just, I kept getting no intent. So they would send me the validation number because, of course, I don't have my phone. And then they would send it to Alex to verify that it was me. And, of course, Alex is at work. Oh, my God, Robert, this was just. So I'm like, I just want to go home. And eat stupid food. And so my stupid food was McDonald's. So I get home. I ate my McDonald's. I calmed down and proceeded to call Apple support. And, of course, the first person that I get, because, you know, I'm not this first level person that I'm going to talk to. I'm going to explain the situation for them to say there's nothing we can do. But I need to explain to them so I can just, I know I'm not, this is how I preface it. I'm going to explain the situation and you're going to tell me that there's nothing you can do about it. And at that point, I'm going to have you transfer me to a supervisor, but I'm going to tell you the story anyway. So you will have, you know, the grounds to transfer me to a supervisor. And I explained the story that the person said this and this and that. And of course that, you know, and she said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm like, okay, at this point now, please transfer me to a supervisor. Transferred to a supervisor. And of course, at first they said, no, can't do it. But then they looked back and I explained to them everything. And they realized that this person that told, you know, they know that person gave me misinformation, but that is not my fault. So they now know the situation. They're going to fix it. It's going to take a couple of days, but it will be fixed. And they will send me, you know, get it taken care of, that I get the replacement phone for $150 and moving on. So that boys and girls was Tracy and Dan Professor in Panama.
I don't know how you're upright and conscious at this point.
Maybe, let me tell you, I don't know either, because I'm just now, today is my airport day, and I'm just now deciding to go to, I just finally got on, you know, to go to work, because I need to work. And so, I'm sorry, hold on.
What? I'm exhausted. This is enough to, well, what a nightmare. Emilio asked a few moments ago, does Tracy just eat black cats and
okay.
Emilio asked, does Tracy just eat black cats and walk under ladders all day and break mirrors and shit?
I'm telling you, baby, I've never had a situation like I had over the last few days, but thank God I'm home. But I have to go because I've been expecting this call. I will try, if nobody calls back, I will try to call back because there's more. But anyway, I'm just glad that I'm home. I love you.
Jesus, there's more? What? Is the next part the part about the snake? I mean, goddamn.
No, it was locust. I love you, and I will try to call
dead.
Back.
Oh, my God. See you, Tracy. Bye now.
Bye.
Oof. That's just way too much. And did I give a cowbell to Christopher? Christopher deserves a cowbell for that. Didn't know there were cracker barrels in Panama. I mean, the ceiling? That usually only happens in West Virginia. No, I'm kidding. So we have reached the halfway point of the program. And we've got 14:10 to desperately try to get caught up so that I can avert disasters that are pending. Really, really not kidding, pending. And hopefully things will continue. Ran across a story out of course, Florida. And this was just one of those little head scratchers. No, it's not a head scratcher. It's one of those little infuriators. Via NBC News, reporting from reporting on a case in an appeals court in Florida. A 16-year-old girl found herself embroiled in the court system because judges, of course. She's 16 and she's pregnant. She has no parents. She has no job. She has no intimate partner. But again, she's pregnant. And she wants, I would dare say need, an abortion. Again, no parents, no job, no intimate partner. She's got nobody.
But, of course, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans insist that she bear that baby. God, I'm so old I can remember when Republicans used to grunt and fulminate about teenage pregnancies.
Well, she had to go into the court system of the state of Florida to ask Mother May I of a court as to whether she could receive abortion care. And at the trial court level, the trial court said, nope, you can't. So she appealed it. And at the appeals court level, the appellate court held, wait for it, if you haven't already heard this one, the appeals court held that she was too immature. I'm sorry, not sufficiently mature to decide whether to terminate her pregnancy. Not sufficiently mature to decide whether to terminate a pregnancy, but I guess plenty mature to carry a pregnancy to term? Maybe die in childbirth? I mean, what? So I'm really convinced that, yes, it's a fact. Decisions about pregnancy should be left to women and their doctors and not judges. You know, there's an old gag out there that lawyers tell. What do you call a lawyer with an IQ of 60? Your Honor. And apparently that's not a joke, at least not in Florida. Oh, and by the way, remember, she's pregnant and 16. The age of consent in Florida is 18. So that means that this appeals court and the trial court below ruled, in essence, that a victim of rape lacked sufficient maturity to make a decision as to whether to carry her rapist's baby to term. Well, it is what Republicans wanted. Pure and simple. Not too hard to sort that out. And of course, the shit is hitting the fan all over America. For instance, the 20-week abortion ban has been reinstated in North Carolina Stan. North Carolina Stan was one of those southern states where there had been a bit of a haven for reproductive care. U.S. District Judge William Osteen reinstated a 20-week abortion ban that had been unenforced because he said that the Dobbs decision had erased the legal foundation that he found in 2019 for enjoining the 1973 state law in North Carolina Stan. Now, U.S. District Judge William Osteen is opposed by doctors, by district attorneys, by the Attorney General's Office of North Carolina. But nonetheless, William Osteen And I feel like, yeah, you know, I mean, I, in a just world, we will, we wouldn't, we wouldn't think this way, but this is not a just world. William Lindsay Osteen, not a Lindsay. Well, William Lindsay Osteen Jr. was appointed to the court by W. So there's no real surprise in him fucking this up like he did. Of course not. He's one of those loyal Bushies. And he wrote, "Neither this court, nor the public, nor counsel, nor providers have the right to ignore the rule of law as determined by the Supreme Court." Meanwhile, the Speaker of the North Carolina House, one Tim Moore, was doing a victory lap, because Tim Moore will never have to worry about an unplanned pregnancy. "I'm encouraged that although our Attorney General has failed to do his duty, today we have a ruling that upholds the law and controls them out-of-control vaginas." I added that last part, but, you know, we both recognize, we all recognize that it's true. Lord, Florida, North Carolina, somewhere in here there's Idaho. Where'd you go? Oh, darn the luck. Idaho has, courts in Idaho have essentially made abortion care impossible to receive because, I guess, Jeebus. I hope this will serve as more and more of a wake-up call within this country. There are monsters among us. Yeah, Darlene says, poor Tracy, a vacay is supposed to be relaxing. And so often they are not. That's why I was surprised when I said, "Are you going back to Panama?" "Oh, I, what?" I would feel compelled to find somewhere else. Oh, and back to the polio story. Flavio said, "I was horrified when I ran across that article in Ars Technica. But I think the article said if you're uncertain, you can always take another set of shots. There's no harm. Talk to your doctor." I wonder how much that would cost. Because this is Merca. No, I said I hope America is waking up. Well, an article over in Jezebel by Kylie Chung says that since May, there has been a decided shift toward Democrats among American voters. And curiously, fathers have moved from plus 20 for Republicans in May to plus 8 for Democrats in August. 28-point swing. It went from plus 13 support for the Republican Party among male voters, taken as a whole, to plus 11 in August. There's been an 8-point shift to support Democrats among white women, a 7-point shift among women voters in general, a plus 9-point shift among suburban women, and a plus 10 shift among women of color. That could be a very concerning statistic. The same poll in question found that parents as a whole went from supporting Republicans over Democrats by a 45 to 39% margin to supporting Democrats over Republicans by a 46 to 35% margin. And at least according to a group called Moms in Office, the shift among dads and suburban women and parents in general indicate how parents understandably want their kids to have the same or more rights than they've enjoyed. Simona Grace said, I'm 39 years old and Roe has been in place since 1973, a decade before I was born. A lot, maybe a majority of parents, never even experienced a world without Roe themselves. Now the idea their children are growing up in a country with less rights than they had is terrifying. Are we living in the type of democracy we want our children to inherit? Well, we will, I guess, have to wait until November to find out. As to the traveling cowbell, Billable Rick says, you must take the cowbell with you to Radio Row at Netroots Nation. Remember how much you missed not having it when you went down to Alabama for your transformational surgery? Don't leave home without it. True. And, you know, I do have right here. It's got a slightly different sound. That's the traveling cowbell. It'll drive them crazy on Radio Row. Where's that damn ringing come from? Come on over. I guess we can take a little bit of solace in the fact that Joe Biden's approval ratings are rising. His overall approval rating is up to 40.6%, up 3 percentage points since July 21st. And I went to fill the tank up in anticipation of heading for Pittsburgh today. Not intended. No. I went to fill the tank up today in anticipation of heading to Pittsburgh. Sorry, I edit on the fly. And I got it for $3.96.9 per gallon. So $3.97 a gallon. It's under $4. Yay! I'm waiting for the maggots to declare that gas prices are falling because of something that, I don't know, Nitwit Nero did or Q did or maybe it was marginal trailer queen. I don't know. I got nothing. So we're coming up on the end of the second hour of the program. It being a Thursday, we do have the Green News Report from Brad and Desi. Let's see what kind of fun they've got for us. Let's see if we can get down below 1,410 for the hole that we're in so that we can save the program when I get back.
It's Thursday, August 18, 2022.
The bill I'm about to sign is not just about today. It's about tomorrow. It's about delivering progress and prosperity to American families.
Inflation Reduction Act's landmark climate action is now the law of the land as...
The worst drought in 1,200 years, as water managers in seven states, 30 tribal nations, and Mexico fighting over every precious drop.
Western states hit with unprecedented water cuts and...
Science and the data leads us to now understand that we will lose 10% of our water supply by 2040.
California proposes big changes amid historic drought.
All of that history and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment. Today, courtesy of climate and energy journalist David Roberts, who tweeted recently, quote, "Every few minutes, I repeat to myself in a quiet voice, it's okay. Joe Manchin can't hurt you anymore." No, he can't, David. It's okay. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, very big news. We've been talking about it for weeks, months, actually years, but yes. The U.S. has finally passed and signed a major climate bill.
Yes, President Biden signed the Democrats' landmark climate, healthcare, and tax reform bill into law on Tuesday with the largest single investment in climate action in U.S. history. $370 billion in investments to speed up the transition to clean energy and tackle climate change.
Now, we should note $370 billion is a lot of money, but it is spread over 10 years. And really, we need to do a lot more.
Oh, yes. It is most definitely not enough. In remarks at the signing, Biden drew a sharp contrast between Democrats and Republicans.
And remember, every single Republican, every single one voted against tackling the climate crisis, against lowering our energy costs, against creating good-paying jobs.
Not only did every Republican vote no, but on the House floor, several Republicans called climate science a hoax. Even as Americans are suffering amid one of the hottest summers in U.S. history, last month set a new record for the hottest overnight temperatures on average, which are linked to an increase in heat deaths. And a new survey finds nearly 40% of U.S. farmers are plowing under their own crops and selling off cattle because of extreme drought. The bill also contains $5 billion in new funding for drought mitigation in southwestern states. Federal water managers this week announced a new round of mandatory water cuts for the 7 states that rely on the Colorado River because water levels are plummeting due to the historic mega drought in the U.S. West. The urgent action protects 2 major dams from structural damage after states failed to reach an agreement among themselves. Starting in January, Arizona will lose 1/5 of its river allocation. Nevada, 8%. Mexico, 7%. California won't see cuts until the next phase of the drought response. The feds will implement other actions to shore up supplies in the new system while a new agreement is negotiated.
So this agreement has been in place for years, but this is the first time it's actually had to be triggered?
Yes. Arizona and Nevada water agencies are not happy about the cuts, and they are demanding that other states, California, do more to preserve the river.
Hey, it's our water. We got there first.
Speaking of falling water levels, a 5th set of human remains has been found in the rapidly declining Lake Mead Reservoir near Las Vegas.
A 5th set of remains?
Yes, even while Vegas is experiencing its wettest monsoon season in years that is flooding streets and casinos.
So that ought to fill up Lake Mead a little bit, no?
Not even close.
Oh.
In California, Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom has proposed sweeping new measures to increase the state's water supply amid the mega drought.
We're going to steal more water from the Colorado?
The $8 billion plan calls for upgrading the state's entire water system to increase efficiency with new infrastructure for water storage and stormwater capture, groundwater management, increased recycling and reuse, and desalination plants.
There's plenty of water that flows through that just flows right out, that we can reuse, that is high quality, safe, and affordable. And so it's, again, about just being a little bit more resourceful and provide us more capacity to balance the needs as an ag state so that we're not going at each other urban versus ag.
I don't know. Dick Cheney said you can't conserve your way out of a crisis.
Finally, some great news in Massachusetts. Republican Governor Charlie Baker signed a sweeping climate and energy bill into law with major provisions to boost offshore wind energy, decarbonize Boston's transit system, allow cities to ban fossil fuel appliances in new buildings, and require all new cars sold in Massachusetts to be zero emissions by 2035.
Well, that's that. I guess Charlie Baker is going to have to be thrown out of the Republican Party. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back.
My favorite part of the song, the "What You Say" part. Never mind why. There's an old one-liner. Anyway, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. On the horn, as I head for Pittsburgh tomorrow. Can't wait to fire things up and get Friday on the front porch going. Jude with a note says, Tracy, dear, your response, Robin, in hearing her challenging journey was charged with anxiety, as I felt it also. Yet it was critical for her to give voice to these experiences as each housed an emotional charge. If I may, when she returns to the line, please ask her of a moment that presented itself, one that draws her back to Panama. I know there are many of us open to hearing. Peace, Jude. Ah, says Jude, I'm able to be back now and connected with the horn. We missed you, dear, and a lot of people were worried about you. I'm glad you're back. Now, I think what I'm going to do is, because I do have to finish packing and I do have to put all the rig away and everything, I think I am going to go ahead and knock off after 2 hours so that I could get everything, and I just realized I'm... got another errand to run before I can, yeah. But that being the case, one last little story. And you know how when we were talking about the story out of Florida with the 16-year-old girl who seems pretty clear was statutorily raped, and not mature enough to get an abortion. And I said, you know, they asked for this. Well, it's kind of the law of intended consequences, isn't it? And we have another example from out in behind the Zion Curtain, you know, Utah Stan. There was great Sturm und Drang there recently as the Republican-controlled government there charged to protect high school athletics from the transes, from the transgenders. Turned out that there were all of 3 kids in the entire state of Utah who were trying to participate in sporting activities on the high school level. But the state legislature of Utah upended the entire school sports administration process by passing a law to protect the little girls. Well, like I said, this is a case of the law of intended consequences. So what happened? In a high school sports competition, one young woman absolutely beat, thumped, thrashed, stomped or as the newspaper article from Deseret News puts it, outclassed her competition. It was at a state level. The Utah State Sports Authority will not say what sport it was or what class or whatever. But the bottom line is, after the second place girls and the third place girls it got completely shown up by a far more talented girl, well, mommy and daddy threw a fit. And they said, well, we don't think that girl what won is a real girl. And so the Utah Sports Authority sent a message to the school that the girl came from. And the school that the girl came from, the school district, had to drill down all the way in to all the way to the registration of the child for kindergarten to make sure she was a real girl. Because, of course, the Little League parents, I mean, have these people forgotten what Little League parents were like? Are like? They were absolutely convinced that their babies couldn't have been beat that bad by a real girl. It had to be a transgender. Only it wasn't. Just a more talented cis girl with, I don't know, who maybe worked harder, tried harder, practiced more. And so now this shit's going to go on in all of these states that begged for this to happen. And I'm guessing the parents of the child who actually won, who apparently is talented at some level, are more than a little bit pissed. And it had nothing to do with any trans kid whatsoever. At all. But nonetheless, the trans community... Well, see, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the transes trying to play the sports. Oh, for fuck's sake. But here we are. Because that's what they wanted. And eventually, because of the way that some state laws are written, upon objection, I think it was the Buckeye State, where Republicans want little girls to be subjected to gynecological exams, which are not exactly fun. Far better, I guess, just to maybe not participate. So, under the law of intended consequences, these assholes, and let's not mince words, these asshole parents are willing to destroy girls' high school sports out of nothing but their own bigotry, their own twisted hate, their stupidity. And tear it all to pieces. The stupid, it hurts us. So that's gonna be the end of this Thorn in the Side Thursday program. Hey, if there's an upside to not being on the air for Tuesday and Wednesday, maybe it means we get all the way to the end of August without Podbean shutting us down. That'd be great. And in the meantime, if you're listening to this program as a podcast, pretty please consider jumping in, helping out. By the time I'm broadcasting tomorrow for Friday on the Front Porch, it will be at 17:10 if we don't knock it down some. And that becomes stressful in the extreme. So maybe consider using the PayPal button at headon.live. In the meantime, thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much this evening. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you this evening, earlier, to Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's good. Shorty in L.A. says, Robin, be very careful with that cowbell, since when you ring that cowbell, it sounds like dinner's ready. Yeah, I may maybe have to be kind of judicious about it. I don't know if I'm going to take it or not. Thanks, Shorty. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you, Ben Birch. Yeah. Literally a billion hours served. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your second booster if you haven't by now. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear your mask. I'll be wearing one the whole time I'm at Netroots Nation. And I'm not going to feel bad about it. And neither will anyone else, because that's a gathering of intelligent people. You know, not maggots. Maintain your social distance where at all humanly possible. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, this whole polio thing is a ginned-up hoax, avoid that scion of a formerly great political family like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.